Now it's time for Food Friday. This week we have a question for you. What name brand favorites, the foods you might buy in the snack aisle at the grocery store, would you try or want to try to make at home? Cheez-Its, Oreos, Pop-Tarts, breakfast cereal? What store-bought goodie would you try to make at home, or have you made at home? What would make it worth the work to cook them in your own kitchen? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or head on over to the Central Time Facebook page. Find one of the recipes we'll be talking about while you're there. Lori Skelton is one of WPR's in-house foodies and a Food Friday regular. And for this segment, she's been experimenting with making store-bought favorites in her own kitchen. Lori, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, what started you down this path, Lori?
What started me down the path was the idea of making your own Oreos. It's not something that I really crave a lot of these days. I know when I was in college, I would go through bags of Oreos on a weekly basis, but it's something that I've gotten away from. I will buy a bag to share with friends, but it's not something that I'd really want to do myself. Looking at this particular recipe on the Serious Eats website, however, got me to thinking about when you can control the amount of sugar, the amount of salt, and can leave out some of the other things that may not be so good for you, maybe it's worth trying to make your own. And we tried a couple of different things. Some did work. I'll be honest, a fair number of things that I tried didn't work this time, probably because I'm not as good a pastry chef as the creator of the original recipe.
And you were inspired in part by Stella Parks and a lot of things on her website and a book she has coming out. Can you talk about her and what she tries to do?
Stella Parks graduated from the Culinary Institute of America in 2002. She went on to be pastry chef at some really high-end restaurants. She was named a Best New Pastry Chef by Food & Wine magazine in 2012. She's now one of the senior editors at Serious Eats. And her book, Brave Tart, which is the name of her personal blog, that came out just a couple of days ago. She calls it Iconic American Desserts. And she does have great chocolate cake and she does have great cherry pie. But this is a woman who makes her own Almond Joys and makes her own animal crackers and gluten-free Honey Grahams and makes her own Fig Newtons and makes her own Butterfinger candy bars. You can't help but be intrigued, but can I do this in my own kitchen?
Well, one of the ones you did try, and you mentioned it, the Oreos.
Yes.
Somebody called them Foreos. Was that Stella Parks?
That's Stella
Foreos,
Parks.
Foreos, and we called them we did a tasting of these. You can see this on Facebook. Veronica came up with L'Oreos.
Which I was so honored.
So talk about what goes into making our own Oreos. Spoiler alert, they were good. I like these.
They were good. And when Stella Parks is making something that is going to be a filled sandwich cookie, whether it's her own version of Oreos or her own version of E.L. Fudge, the vanilla
which
cookies
I
with chocolate
I saw online.
In the middle.
I'd love to try that. Yeah.
A lot of
eating it, I mean, not making it.
A lot of her cookie doughs are fairly easy to put together. They've got a few things, however, that you're not going to find in the store-bought version. She uses a lot of egg yolk in her cookie doughs. Oreos are like that. If you look at a package of Oreos, you won't see egg on there at all. The other thing you won't see on a package of real Oreos is coffee flavor. Oreos do say that they have chocolate and artificial flavors, mm-hmm. but she actually goes out and uses instant coffee powder to give her Oreos that dark, slightly bitter taste. You don't want a sweet cookie when you're going to sandwich it between all that sweet cream filling.
Oh, that's a good point. Now, I didn't ask you this the other day. How much work went into doing this? Was this just a big production?
Well, considering I made two batches, I made a regular and a gluten-free.
Right.
It did take up several hours in my kitchen. But of the recipes that she has, this was probably one of the most straightforward. If you're going to start with anything, I would suggest you start with her Oreo recipe. It is fairly easy to do. One of the things, though, you have to be patient with, because this dough has egg in it and a fair amount of other moist ingredients, you're going to have a dough that's, when you roll it out thin enough to make it into an Oreo, you're going to have to actually almost scrape it off the kitchen counter sometimes. And so you do need to handle the dough a little bit carefully. Once it's in the oven, however, They cook up in about 12 minutes. You let them dry out nice and crisp, and then you put in your choice of either butter cream filling or all vegetable shortening cream filling. The all vegetable shortening is probably closer to what you're going to find in a packaged Oreo. And during our taste test, I think both you and Veronica preferred the butter version,
which was a little less like the original Oreo.
But if you're out to make an Oreo that has, say, a flavored filling, mm-hmm. which is all the rage these days, I would suggest actually stay with the butter version. If you're going to use the recipe that we've got online or that's on the Serious Eats blog, and you're thinking about, well, maybe I could make a mint Oreo, or maybe I could make a coffee Oreo, I'd stick with the butter version for the filling.
Talking to Lori Skelton on this edition of Food Friday, we are replicating store-bought treats at home. Again, you can find that recipe for homemade, quote-unquote, Oreos. Go to the Central Time Facebook page or WPR.org. And mentioning the gluten-free version reminds me, one reason you might want to do this yourself is, hey, I love those treats, but I don't want, say, the gluten, or I don't want things with a whole ton of preservatives in them. That's maybe one motivation to try to replicate these treats at home.
And one of the things that we discovered when we did our taste test, Veronica said that she thought the gluten-free version made the chocolate flavor of the cookies pop a little bit more. Now, I don't do a great deal of gluten-free baking, so it could just have been a happy accident in my kitchen, or there could be something in the science behind that, that using a gluten-free flour will let other flavors come to the fore. But yes, certainly, if you are concerned about gluten, I would definitely look into making your own version with gluten-free baking flours. For one thing, doing a quick price comparison, there are gluten-free chocolate sandwich cookies out there. Oreo doesn't make them. Nabisco doesn't make them, but there are versions from other companies. They run 2 to 3 times the price of an Oreo. And I would bet you if gluten-free is something you're really concerned about, you're probably saving money by making your own gluten-free Oreos.
Let's bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234. Hodge with us in Wauwatosa. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to know how to make Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops. You're a big Fruit Loop
fan? Well, I used to be until I realized that I couldn't pronounce the ingredients.
Yeah.
And you don't trust fruit that's spelled with two O's either, I imagine.
Yes.
All right.
But
so
they're delicious.
They're yummy, and you looked at some of the cereals that they have online. Not necessarily Fruit Loops, but people try to do this.
Tell you what, Hodge, go ahead and try and Google this, because I'm sure somebody out there has. What Stella Parks has done is make her own Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms, okay.
And to the point where she's making her own. I mean, it's easy to make a marshmallow these days. There are a lot of recipes for cushy, soft, pillowy marshmallows. But those little crunchy half styrofoam marshmallows that you get in Lucky Charms, which I must admit, when I was 4 years old, I was addicted to those things. You have to do a few special things in order to get that texture, down to the point of you have to make your own kind of corn syrup. And I will be honest, I can't do that in my kitchen. That's just too involved. But if you're really jonesing for some really good Lucky Charms, and how much safer can it be to make your own corn syrup? There you go.
Well, good luck finding that online. But yeah, that brings us to the point you brought up earlier. Some of these things are going to fridge too far. They're just too long or complicated or take up too much refrigerator or freezer space.
One of the things that she has on there that I thought would be so easy is to make your own conversation hearts, you know, that you'd hand out.
Oh, like on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day.
I don't like eating those.
Well, and
does anybody?
Well, she makes a point that the flavors they've chosen for them are terrible, and she gives you better flavors for them. The problem is you're talking about serious candy cooking. You're starting out by making a dough that you need Sprite in it in order to get the right consistency and the right little tang. And then you have to go and add the wintergreen flavor or the clove oil, or again, not something that I was ready to do to bring in for public radio. But if you're someone who, say, wants to throw a Valentine's theme party where maybe you use the little candy hearts as Scrabble letters for a game, and if you've got the time, this would be something fun to do, but you're going to have some serious candy-making skills to put this together. Same thing with her version of Milk Duds. I thought, I love Milk Duds. I never get Milk Duds anymore because they do kind of taste a little bit funny to me now. Mm-hmm. And here she gives you the exact recipe for how to make the caramel the right consistency, just gooey enough. And then she says, go ahead and dunk it in your favorite dark chocolate and you'll love it. Getting caramel to this particular consistency requires more knowledge of sugar than I have. If you're a candy baker out there, go to the Serious Eats and find her Milk Duds recipe. I'm sure you'll love it. I can't do it.
Food Friday regular Lori Skelton stays with us as we continue our conversation about making store-bought goodies in your own kitchen. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever tried to recreate something from the snack aisle at the store at home? Why did you decide to try it? How did it come out? Is there something you wish you could make at home that you want to try? Lori might have some advice, or she can point you in a direction or steer you away from it if it's too hazardous. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're getting back to our discussion now with Food Friday regular Lori Skelton about making our favorite store-bought treats at home. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What would it take for you to attempt to make your favorite name brand treats at home? Or is there something that someone you love really likes to eat at the store? Maybe you want to make it for a special occasion, a birthday, a wedding, you name it. Have you done this? How did it go? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go back to our callers. Elizabeth is with us now in Random Lake. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi.
Have you done something like this before?
Yes, I was going to say that my family makes a thing with toast, peanut butter, and sorghum. And then we add chocolate pieces on top, and it tastes like a Butterfinger candy bar.
Okay, but you're eating it on toast, Elizabeth. Does that kind of ruin the illusion?
No. No, it doesn't.
Sorghum as opposed to chocolate. Now,
oh, no, chocolate too, right? You cover it in chocolate after.
Yes.
Oh, you do. Okay.
Yeah, and not blackstrap molasses or anything like that. Get really light sorghum.
All right.
And this, Elizabeth, I got to ask, did this come out of years of experimentation, or did you just kind of wing it one time?
Oh, years of experimentation.
And you're a Butterfinger family.
Yes.
Elizabeth,
100%.
Thank you so much. That's a great one. I love that you kind of meet it halfway, because actually Butterfinger is one of the ones I think you said to me earlier, Laura, you did not try.
I would love to make my own Butterfingers, but this, to get that kind of layering, to get that peanutty crunch in the middle of the candy bar, they're talking techniques in the kitchen that Mary Berry from Great British Bake Off would say, uh-uh, not going there. It's you, in order to keep the middle pliable as you keep layering it, you have to put it in the oven for 2 minutes, warm it up, soften it up, then take it out, mold it a bit, put it back in the oven. It's again, I can't.
You know, actually, that reminds me, thank you, Elizabeth, for that, because I'm never going to make a candy bar at home. I will take graham crackers, put some peanut butter and chocolate chips on it, toaster oven for 12-15 seconds. It's a candy bar like
Yeah.
experience, and that's close enough for me. And that's really easy, and I like that.
Which gets back to the central question about all of this: is it worth doing? Because so many of these treats are, it's not something you plan for. It's, you just sort of get hit in the middle of it. Boy, I really could use a Hostess Snowball today. And, you know, does that mean you go in your kitchen and spend the next 3 hours making them? Or do you go down to the corner store and grab a package?
From a health perspective, actually, the I'm only going to eat it if I make it approach might be a really good idea.
Which, of course, is the perfect idea. What having this in your arsenal does is it makes you think about what it is you're eating. Mm. And it certainly, we can get really esoteric here. What is the nature of a Hostess snow cone? Is it the cake? Is it the marshmallow? Is it the coconut on the outside? You can get really, really involved in what makes the experience a true experience of that particular food stuff.
We need a food philosopher in here
there
for that,
go.
I think. Back to our callers now. Mickey is on the line in Hartford. Mickey, hi.
Hi. As I was listening, I was remembering a book I read 4 or 5 years ago called Make the Bread, Buy the Butter. It's a really good book about a woman who saw peanut butter sandwiches for sale in the store and couldn't believe that you could buy a peanut butter sandwich. And so she decided to find the cost of making a peanut butter sandwich versus buying one. Mm-hmm. And that led her on to all kinds of other things that you buy, mayonnaise and cake mixes and butter. And the nice thing about it in her recipes and her discussion is she not only has the cost of things, but she has the hassle factor.
Mm. And Mickey, what was the highest hassle thing that you tried yourself?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a really great cook, so I enjoyed the discussion of her life. She even went on to have chickens and goats, which is, beyond.
That's really going to the source. Mickey, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. I can pull off a peanut butter sandwich, but I like that philosophy, though, that here's how to make it. Here's how much hassle it is to make it. You make the call at home.
Mm-hmm. Or the flip side of that, yes, go ahead and make your own peanut butter sandwiches and then go out and buy your own Cheez-Its.
Mm-hmm.
So it does come down to a trade-off. What is it worth to you?
Thanks a lot for that call, Mickey. We're talking to Lori Skelton. It's Food Friday. We're trying to replicate store-bought treats at home. Back to your calls now. Stephanie is on the line in Eau Claire. Stephanie, hi.
Hi there.
What do you want to tell us about, Stephanie?
Well, I was wondering about the macaroon cookies that they make in Ripon, Wisconsin.
Okay.
They're the harder one, and then they have almost the coconut vanilla cream center.
Mm. Okay.
It's
a sandwich cookie.
Okay. I know of what you speak, but that's not something that I would certainly attempt, and I know it's not something that Stella Parks attempted, so that's not in the book. Sorry.
Okay, and is there something particularly challenging you think about trying to do that, Lori?
Again, you're coming back to what is the real store-bought experience versus what can I make? I can certainly make about three different kinds of macaroons.
Mm.
With or without coconut, and with or without more of a lighter almond flour. But am I going to be able to recreate what they do in Ripon? I highly doubt it.
Well, and if they're made here in Wisconsin, we can call them homemade, I think, Lori.
All right.
We'll expand the definition
I'll
there.
I'll call that a compromise.
Stephanie, thanks a lot for calling in. You mentioned Cheez-Its a few minutes ago, and that's the other thing you made and brought in to try. And you did gluten-free.
I did a gluten-free
Cheez-Its
version of
Cheez-Its. So talk us through what went into that.
This is fairly easy to make. Again, it's one of these thinner doughs. It's very light and very easy to roll out. And you basically take one of those big half-sheet pans, spread dough on it, run a little pizza cutter or a knife to make it into tiny little 1-inch crisp crackers, and then bake for about 15 minutes. I found out the hard way where the cool spots in my oven were because it did not bake evenly. If you are going to try the Cheez-Its version of Serious Eats from Stella Parks, I would recommend, she says split the dough in half and make it in two batches. I'd go three or four batches so that you can give your dough more room to spread out. So when I brought in the gluten-free version, several people said, the taste is fantastic. And I was using just basic store extra sharp cheddar. The taste is fantastic, but the texture is not quite right. It's just a little bit pillowy. It's not as crisp. So I went back and I did make a version with regular flour. You notice I didn't bring any of those in?
Uh-oh. What happened?
They didn't leave the house.
Oh, because you ate them. Okay, it wasn't a disaster.
Okay.
They were too good for us.
Here's the I'd never had a Cheez-It before in my life.
Really?
Really. I know. Where have I been all these years? But I'd never had a Cheez-It before in my life. I made this one batch with regular flour and just basic store cheddar. And I noticed, these on the end are a little bit burnt. I can't bring those in. I'll just eat those myself. And before I knew it, the pan was gone. If these are easy, if you want to try something for yourself, you may want to try making Stella Parks Cheez-Its from the Serious Eats food blog.
I'm not a big Cheez-It guy, so this one probably wouldn't be one I'd try to do at home either. But one you didn't make, but we were talking about earlier, Fudgesicles. I used to love me a good fudgesicle. And this is something that looks like it's not too crazy out there to make.
No, actually it isn't. It's not a pudding pop. She's very quick to say it's not just a matter of dumping chocolate pudding into the freezer. But if you have molds to make your own kind of frozen treats, you need a decent quality chocolate, you need skim milk, and you need a little bit of gelatin. Beyond that, these are pretty straightforward. So here we are, the final weeks of summer. Maybe you can go out on a really high note with your own fudgesicles.
Lori, hassle is no object. Money is no object. What is the one treat you wish you could make at home that we haven't gotten into yet? I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, actually, something I didn't find out about until today. It plays off of the Oreo cookie dough. I was working from her website because I didn't have a copy of the cookbook. It only came out on Tuesday. She uses that Oreo dough to make her own homemade thin mints.
Ooh.
I know what I'm going to be doing this weekend. Thin. Those are also not going to be coming to Wisconsin Public
Radio.
The
filling sounds like it'd be tough, though, isn't it?
No, this is your Oreo cookie dough with some peppermint and a few other things added, and then you dunk them in your favorite dark chocolate. And no, I'm not bringing any in on Monday.
I guess the one I would want, and I had a habit, maybe even a problem with these. I've kicked it since then. Little Debbie. I could list about six or seven Little Debbies that I loved.
Her oatmeal cream pies?
No, that's not one of them.
Okay. But she does have her Christmas tree cakes are in there. You can try making your own Nilla wafers if you want. She's got some really good ideas. I will bet you, if you want to give your kids a great project, this might be something for you and the kids to do, or the grandkids to do together.
Yeah. Oh, not my kids in particular. I think they'd have no patience for that. But your kids might. Lori Skelton with us, Food Friday. You can find that recipe and to try and make your own Oreos at home. Look on the Central Time Facebook page.